If Verizon buys back a piece of itself from Vodafone of Europe, never before in recorded financial history has a company paid this much cash for an acquisition.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. If both boards approve, an announcement could come as early as today. The telecommunications giant Verizon is about to buy back a large piece of itself from Europe's Vodafone. Investment bankers who are brokering the deal will be especially pleased with their cut of the gargantuan price tag, $130 billion. That's more than the gross domestic product of Hungary, by comparison. Vodafone stock is up 3.7% in London right now. Giyani Dunarain is a London-based telecommunications industry analyst with the consulting company Gartner. Ms. Dunarain, good morning.
Good morning, David.
This is a colossally sized deal, if it indeed goes through. Why do you think Verizon Wireless would want to spend the money for this?
Well, Verizon has been doing really well, especially in the past 24 months, in particular after the launch of LTE, being first to market and having been able to reach so many subscribers, increase their adoption of LTE. So they are in the best possible position now to be able to spend that money. And from a strategic perspective, they do see themselves now independent and being able to really drive their own strategy.
Of the $130 billion that Vodafone is expecting to get, $60 billion of it is in cash, and just that part is twice the state budget of New Jersey. Have you ever seen numbers like this in your life?
I haven't. Having said that, one thing we need to take into account is, first, they will only get about $100 billion, not $130 billion, because of taxes. Are they going to invest all that $100 billion? No, they are not, because they need to do other things. They need to give some of those shareholders a bit of dividends. Then they will also probably use it to pay off a bit of their debt. And then they also need to invest in access technologies. And then whatever is left, you can start going on your buying spree.
So it's amazing just how $130 billion can get frittered away. Giyani Dunarain is a telecoms analyst at Gartner in London. Ms. Dunarain, thank you very much.
You're most welcome, David.
There's new data showing renewed signs of life from one of the engines of the global economy. A survey of people who do the ordering at factories in China has ticked upward to the highest point in 16 months. Chen Liu is with the Economist Intelligence Unit in Beijing.
If you look at many of the latest economic indicators, a lot of them are pointing to a somewhat better economic situation, suggesting that the worst of the 2013 slowdown may be over. At the same time, the government is also doing more to support the economy. So I would be quite confident to see that this year, China's economic growth can achieve within the government initial target of 7.5% growth.
There's also news today that factory orders in Mexico are now growing again. And now here's some more numbers from the stock market. The FT 100 index in London is up 1.5%. The Japanese yen fell to less than 100 to the dollar this morning as a key part of Japanese Prime Minister Abe's economic reform plans fell into place, new backing for a planned hike in the sales tax. And the number here is 5. Diana Nyad is less than 5 miles from her goal of swimming from Cuba to Florida without a shark tank. One more relevant number about Diana, who used to work on the air with us here at Marketplace. She's trying this epic swim at the age of 64.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Kronos, providing cloud-based time and attendance, scheduling, HR, and payroll solutions for organizations of all sizes. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. By Arizona State University Online, offering more than 60 undergraduate and graduate online degree programs at radio.asu.edu. And by Join Me, an instant online meeting app used by millions of people to collaborate and get work done anywhere. More at join.me.
AAA, the Automobile Club, figures 34 million people are out there on the roads this Labor Day weekend. That's the highest level since the recession that hit in 2008. Many are also flying or getting a carry-on bag on and off the aircraft has become a logistical challenge of epic complexity. Reporter Sally Herships looked into this.
The scene, Newark Airport. Overpriced sandwiches, elevator music. That's where I met with two couples who pursue very different boarding strategies. First,
try to push the small and the weak out of the way, and that's usually a good strategy. I'm just joking.
Suraj Gupta and Lindsay Sage are on their way to Seattle. They get as close to the front of the line as possible.
Well, if you've got the roller boards, you need to get on first. Otherwise, they'll take them from you. But, you know, we're not unethical in the sense that, like, some people come on and they're row 33 and they put their roller board, like, above seat 2. I mean, that's just mean.
Sage and Gupta are what are called gate lice, people who crowd the boarding area before their group is called. Are you guilty?
I think everyone in Newark Airport is.
I feel like I'm becoming like my old Indian parents. I'm at the front of the line. I have to be there first.
You're getting on first.
That's dentures next.
But some passengers prefer to delay the inevitable as long as possible.
I do, actually. I prefer getting on last or near last.
Miriam Everett and her husband Fred, a couple of a certain age, are returning to California after vacation.
I don't see the advantage. Everyone always seems like they're in such a hurry to get on the plane.
Fred, in particular, had a lot to say about the boarding process, beginning with the technical challenges of checking in.
How does an old person get through this, right? What if you can't use a computer? How do you get on a plane?
No one I spoke with at the gate had a perfect solution, but the airlines do. Buy a first-class seat or pay to board early. In Newark, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And on this Labor Day, an interesting stat highlighted by the Pew Research Center. For the first time in almost 7 years, a majority of Americans view labor unions favorably. 51% like them, up 10% from 2 years ago. Next week, the AFL-CIO is holding what it calls an open convention to deepen alliances with environmental, human rights, religious, and other non-union groups. The Pew data confirms that membership in labor unions is down, and that's a trend that started in 1983. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey, congratulations. You just got your first paycheck. Now you're in for a reality check.
I kind of learned what it meant to be an employee. You know, just going to school and being a high school student, I didn't really understand what it meant to work and have to be somewhere at a certain time.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Lessons learned from first jobs. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.